RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry encourages the strengthening of cooperation. The Minister of Foreign Affairs hold consultation meeting with ASEAN Study Center. Now the news in detail. Director General of ASEAN Cooperation Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ambassador Joseph Traferos in Jakarta on Wednesday encouraged the strengthening of cooperation among Foreign Affairs Ministry, ASEAN National Secretariat Indonesia, and ASEAN Study Center to maximize the opportunity of ASEAN community for the need of Indonesian community. Traferos also said the stakeholders have responsibility to expand utilization of chances. One of them is an effort to bolster economic development in Indonesia. In this case, partnership between Minister of Foreign Affairs, ASEAN National Secretary Indonesia and ASEAN Study Center need to be directed for mutual efforts to use maximally the chance of ASEAN community for the interest of Indonesian community. Our main duty is expanding the use of chances by other Indonesian companies in ASEAN, including small and medium enterprises of Indonesia. Moreover, Ambassador Yosef Tafres said currently there are 720 Indonesian companies to have expanded businesses in various ASEAN member countries. To support the development, according to Ambassador Yosef Tafres, the Foreign Affairs Ministry plans a special website for the ASEAN under the ASEAN National Secretariat Indonesia as the facility to distribute information quickly and accurately. The website is especially designed to be accessed through the smartphone. It is expected to reach a large number of stakeholders in the country to increase awareness and give wider information for Indonesian people about the opportunity of ASEAN community. The Minister of Foreign Affairs held consultation meeting ASEAN Directorate of Cooperation with ASEAN Study Center on Wednesday in Jakarta. Director General of ASEAN Cooperation, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ambassador Joseph Tapres, in his report said that the consultation meeting is held to strengthen the role of ASEAN Study Center as a partner in the era of ASEAN community. According to Joseph Tapres, the meeting is part of strengthening effort of ASEAN Study Center and as a media to share information about development of the ASEAN community nowadays. The theme of the meeting is to strengthen the role of ASEAN Study Center in the era of ASEAN community. The consolidation meeting is hoped to strengthen ASEAN Study Center with various actual information about development of ASEAN community, to strengthen networking among ASEAN Study Center as well as with relevant ministries. The meeting will also get input from the center about the possibility of the activities program and innovative ideas which can be held together in the future. The consultation meeting was officially opened by Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ayem Fajir. In a series of the meeting, the Minister of Foreign Affairs also signed a memorandum of understanding with 12 universities from various regions in the context of establishing ASEAN Study Center. Until now, Indonesia has 34 ASEAN Study Centers in various regions in Indonesia. Indonesia will hold simultaneous regional elections in February 2017. It is expected to boost Indonesia's economic growth, coinciding with the increase in purchasing power for the need of the campaign for the regional head candidates. This was stated by banking analyst Anton Hendranata to our rival service Voice of Indonesia after media workout took place in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Kita ini kan udah pengalaman ya, mau pilkada, mau pilpres.
Indonesia has been experienced to organize simultaneous regional election, pilkada or presidential election, although the people tension is getting high. Indonesian people have a culture and finally after Democratic Party there is a compromise. Jakarta is a little bit different and has a special characteristic. If there is Democratic Party in regions, the tension is normal even there is no problem. So I think pilkada is expected to boost economic stimulus and purchasing power. If the purchasing power is getting bigger, the consumption can be triggered to increase by pilkada. Moreover, Anton Hendranata asks Indonesian government to keep inflation so the purchasing power people can increase as well in 2017. Similarly, economic growth will also increase. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that forest law enforcement, government and trade flag license has provided a comparative advantage to Indonesian timber products, Minister Retno said in a press release quoted by Antara News Agency on Wednesday. With the approval of flag license, Indonesia has to make use of its competitive advantage to enter Indonesian wood products to larger markets in European Union. The statement was made following the flag license official authorization event in Brussels, which was attended by Federica Mogherini, the High Representative of European Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy and Vice President of European Union, and European Union Commissioner for the Environment, Maritime and Fisheries Affairs, Carmen Uvella. The flag is an agreement established by European Union and its partner countries that aim at ensuring the legality of products, production sustainability and compliance with the principle of environmental preservation. Indonesian government has decided to temporarily suspend its membership in the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries OPEC during the 171st meeting of OPEC Conference in Vienna, Austria on Wednesday. Energy and Mineral Resource Minister Ignatius Jonan explained that the decision was made following the organization's decision to cut down oil production of its members by 1.2 barrels per day, excluding oil condensates. During the meeting, OPEC also requested Indonesia to reduce its oil production by 5% or equals to 37,000 barrels per day. Minister Jonan said Indonesia can only reduce its oil production by 5.00 barrels per day. Minister Jonan added, as a net crude importer, the reduction will not bring benefits to the country because it will possibly increase fuel prices. The last item, the Peatland Restoration Agency, BRD, has a set a target to restore 4,000 hectares of peatland in 2017. Budi Wardana, Deputy for Planning and Cooperation of BRD, said that the agency will need 1.44 trillion rupiah for the restoration effort, while adding that only 912 million rupiah are available. Budi said in a discussion held by Tempo.co in Kuningan, Jakarta on Wednesday that to make up the shortcoming, Budi has asked for help from non-governmental organizations based in the European Union, Norway, UK, Japan and South Korea. Next year, the BRD is aiming to meet 820,000 hectares of land in a peat hydrological area, manage 104 peat villages and set up 80 KGA zones, a number of much higher compared to last year, 9 KGA each. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled World AIDS Day. World AIDS Day, which falls on December 1st, is celebrated to raise awareness of the AIDS epidemic worldwide. AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, is a collection of symptoms caused by infection with human immune deficiency virus, HIV, that causes loss of immunity, so people are easily infected with the disease. The cause of transmission is generally through unprotected sex, use of unsterile instruments, and childbirth from mother to child. In July 2016, the World Health Organization, WHO, organized 21st International Conference on AIDS in Durban, South Africa, themed Equity Access Right Now. The conference is meant that every HIV/AIDS sufferer receive equal treatment in a variety of ways. WHO views that there is still less access to prevention, treatment, care, and comprehensive support for people who suffer from HIV/AIDS. So in November 2016, WHO released new guidelines on HIV cell testing to improve access to and undertake of HIV diagnosis. At the press conference that took place in November 2016, Director General of WHO Dr. Margaret Chan said the WHO received many reports about reduction of HIV diagnosis. Thought it is very important for everyone with HIV, they should be treated with antiretroviral therapy to save lives of patients and prevent transmission to others. Meanwhile, coordinator of the WHO Regional Office for Southeast Asia, Chandra Yoga, said that the latest data of HWO until the end of 2014, the number of people who suffer from HIV/AIDS in the world reached 36.9 million people. Meanwhile, the target of Sustainable Development Goals (SDGs) to stop the HIV/AIDS epidemic in the world by 2030. Data from the WHO and the Port of Indonesian government at this time, the attention to people living with HIV patients has been good enough. The national policy on AIDS prevention has been regulated since the issuance of President Decree No. 36, 1994 on the National AIDS Commission. Then this was updated through Presidential Regulation No. 75, 2006 on the National AIDS Commission. In 2007, Coordinating Minister for People's Welfare issued a national policy on AIDS and through hunt reduction use of narcotic drugs and psychotropic substances injectable addictive. Admittedly, until now, the most potent treatment of HIV cannot kill the virus in the body infected. Antiretroviral therapy that has been developed since last two decades is only able to hamper their development. To prevent and treat for people living with HIV virus, the government must cooperate with wider community of the various groups, religious leaders and community leaders. This aims to save the future generation, since the people who suffer from HIV/AIDS are mainly young people. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, we meet again in our daily program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on December 1, 1956 when Muhammad Atta resigned as the Vice President of Indonesia. Haji Muhammad Hatta, or famously called Bun Hatta, is a warrior, statesman, economist and also the first Vice President of Indonesia. He, together with Sukarno, played an important role for the independence of Indonesia from the Dutch colonial as well as proclaimed the independence of Indonesia on 17 August 1945. He has served as a Prime Minister. On past December 1956, Hatta resigned as Vice President of Republic of Indonesia. Because he differed from President Sukarno and his position was replaced by Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono. Hatta is also known as the father of Indonesian cooperation. Jakarta International Airport Soekarno-Hatta uses his name as an honor on his service. Besides, being immortalized in Indonesia, the name of Muhammad Atta is also immortalized in the Netherlands as the name of the street 1980 at Suderfolder Settlement Area, Harlem, with the name of Muhammad Hastastraat. In 1980, he died. Bun Hatta is decided as one of national hero on 23rd October 1986 through Presidential Decree number 08. The next event was in 1988. It's about World AIDS Day. World AIDS Day, designated on 1st December every year since 1988, is dedicated to raising awareness of the AIDS pandemic caused by the spread of HIV infection and mourning those who have died of the disease. Government health and health official, non-governmental organizations and individuals around the world observe the day, open with education of AIDS prevention and control. World AIDS Day is one of the 8 official global public health campaigns marked by the World Health Organization, WHO along with World Health Day, World Blood Donor Day, World Immunization Week, World Tuberculosis Day, World No Tobacco Day, World Malaria Day, and World Hepatitis Day. Since 1995, the President of the United States has made an official proclamation of World AIDS Day. And the last event was that in 2006, Edi Sudrajat, Minister of Defense and Security of Development Cabinet, died. Retired General Edi Sudrajat is one of Indonesia's military figures. He was the only one who has served as Chief of Staff of Indonesian Army, Commander of Armed Forces of Republic of Indonesia, and Minister of Defense and Security in the same time. Edi Sudrajat graduated from the First National Military Academy in 1960 and was chosen as the best graduate. When he served as a Chief of Staff of Indonesian Army, Edi was included Chief of the Indonesian Military Who Coach Movement of Back to Basic for Soldier, meaning soldier have to leave military business and really concentrate on their duty as a National Guards who are professional. General Edi Sudrajat died on 1st of December 2006 and he was buried at Kalibata National Cemetery in Jakarta. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, it's nice to be with you again in our daily program Focus. The theme of today's focus is State Advantage of ASEAN Economic Community. Investor brings workers from China to Riau. The presence of investors from China to Indonesia and overseas border loans to China became an entering gate for arrival of foreign workers from China. Even China is trying to take use the momentum of the era of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. It was complained of by the governor of Rio, Arsha Juliandi Rahman, at a panel in Pekanbaru on last Monday. He said the level of Chinese investment to Indonesia until February 2016 reached $23.25 billion. Most investment is in Dubai, Rio province. He said the intent of investment of foreign workers from China, it is relatively easily controlled by using Article 42 and Article 49 of Law Number 13/2003 on employment, but the number continues to grow because the investment is short term. He also pointed out that China's entrepreneurs always bring workers to Dumai and a number of district cities in Rio, not only professionals but also hard workers from China such as laundry workers. He also added that on one hand, the government should require overseas loans without condition in terms of money, and all the jobs should not be done by foreign companies. On the other hand, in addition to asking the public to supervise foreign workers, Indonesia Minister of Manpower, Transmigrant Population, Borneo Province, continue to intensively supervise foreigners who take advantage of the ASEAN Economic Community era. Meanwhile, Head of the Employment and Working Condition of Rio Province, Rusaini, said that on one hand, ASEAN Economic Community facilitates the traffic of workers entering the global market. On the other hand, it will limit opportunities for Indonesian workers, especially for those who are not ready to compete. He said that ASEAN Economic Community is in ASEAN economic integration to face the free trade among countries of ASEAN. All ASEAN countries have agreed to realize the ASEAN free trade in 2020. Rusaini views that although the labor law stipulate that employment foreign workers must be through strict requirements. Take for example, there must be permission from the government, there should be employment relationship, and there should be a transfer of technology, or foreign workers must have skills that are not owned by Indonesian workers. But nowadays, there are a lot of foreign workers who have already worked in Indonesia where the work can be done by Indonesian workers. Does this need serious attention and close supervision so that Indonesian workers do not become unemployed? Rusaini said it should be understood that the definition of free trade should relate to existing profession in place, but it is easy. Listener, that's Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Director General of ASEAN Cooperation at Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ambassador Joseph Tavares in Jakarta on Wednesday encouraged the strengthening of cooperation among Foreign Affairs Ministry, ASEAN National Secretariat, Indonesian ASEAN Studies Center to maximize the opportunity of ASEAN community for the need of Indonesian community. The Minister of Foreign Affairs held consultation meeting ASEAN Directorate of Cooperation with ASEAN Studies Center on Wednesday in Jakarta. Director of ASEAN Cooperation at the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Ambassador Joseph Tapares, in his report said that the consultation meeting is held to strengthen the role of ASEAN Studies Center as a partner in the era of ASEAN community. Indonesia will hold simultaneous regional election in February 2017. It is expected to boost Indonesia's economic growth, coinciding with the increase in purchasing power for the need of campaign for the regional head candidates. This was stated by banking analyst Anton Hendranata to Arrival Survey Voice of Indonesia after media war took place in Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi said that forest law enforcement, government and trade flag license has provided a comparative advantage to Indonesian timber products. Indonesian government has decided to temporarily suspend its membership in the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, during the 171st meeting of OPEC Conference in Vienna, Austria on Wednesday. The Peatland Restoration Agency, BRG, has a set target to restore 400,000 hectares of peatland in 2017. Budi Wardana, Deputy of Planning and Cooperation of Peatland Restoration Agency, said that the agency will need 1.44 trillion rupiah for the restoration effort, while adding that only 912 billion rupiah are available. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to the province of North Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listener, on November 24, there was held the performance of cultural tribes in Nias Island, North Sumatra, entitled Indigenous Ya Ahau Party. Ya Ahau Party Festival was celebrated with a number of cultural attractions of a number of tribes, among others Batak tribe, Minang tribe, Aceh tribe, as well as the Chinese people, which presenting barongsai attractions in Yosemite Ya Ahau, Gunung Sitoli, the capital of Nias Regency. During the event, there also were held various competitions related to the local culture of Nias Islands. Interestingly, in this festival, the government of Gunung Sitoli broke the Muri record by holding a mass Maina dance, which was attended by 6,000 people. The Maina dance is one of the traditional dances of Nias tribe, a native of Nias Island, North Sumatra. Listener, Listener, the Mayna traditional dance of Nias tribe has been available since long time ago and has been handed down through the generations up to at present. Previously, the dance was often conducted as part of customary ceremony of Nias ethnic communities, such as welcoming guests and weddings. For the Nias people, this dance has a special meaning, such as the meaning of unity and togetherness. It can be seen from the way to dance and do it together joyfully. Mayna dance is a mass dance performed by male or female dancers. The more dancers who involved, the dance is more festive. The dancers are usually wearing Nias traditional clothes. However, the use of costumes is well adapted to the event. Due to Mayna dance is a joyful dance, the audience who do not use traditional clothes are allowed to follow the dance. Mayna dance is basically only accompanied by a song or poem that presented by the dancers. Then they dance with movements adapted to the tempo or rhythm of the song. But there are also several Mayna dance performances accompanied by Nias traditional music to make it look more festive and attractive. Listener, Mayna dance performance usually begin with a poem dedicated by Sanutuo Mayna, or the tribe's elder. Then continue with Mayna rhymes, which are usually dedicated by the whole dancers. The movement in Mayna dance actually quite simple, so it does not require special training to do. The movements are dominated by a mixture of hand gestures and foot. Even though it looks simple, but still vigorous and dynamic. Mayna dance movement consists of Mayna gaulo, or form a circle, and rectangular. The dance movement consists of Mayna garagazi, or so, step move forward and backward. There is also a movement to form a triangle. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Mayna Dance from Nias. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we'll inform you about Indonesian Music Museum. Stay tuned. Listener, on Saturday, November 19, Indonesian Music Museum was officially opened. Located in Gajayana Art Building, Malang, the museum was established so every generation know and appreciate Indonesian music. This museum is the only music museum in Indonesia. Therefore, according to the local government, this place can be one of new tourism objects in Malang. So the tourist visit to the Flower City will increase. In the future, the Malang Regional Government will promote the museum to the tourism stakeholders in Indonesia.
The museum was established by the Malang Singing Gallery or the Gallery Malang Bernyanyi, GMB. The gallery itself established in 2009 with 200 tapes collection and vinyl records. The gallery also compiled other historical stuffs in other form, such as CD, VCD, music player, instrument, memorabilia, photograph, poster, magazine, and books. In 2015, the gallery transformed itself into the Indonesian Music Museum or MMI, the name then registered at the Law and Human Rights Ministry. To keep the Indonesian music history alive, the museum has a mission to collect all kinds of musical records. Until March 2013, there were about 8,500 collections, where most of them in the form of tapes, vinyl, and CD from abroad. Indonesian Music Museum still keep Indonesian music journey and the world until today. After the opening ceremony recently, the Indonesian Music Museum MMI will finish digitalized process so that visitors can enjoy music through streaming. Listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We meet again with another topics of Miscellany. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Mayang Sari. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tiada Lagi by Mayang Sari. Happy listening.
Sia-sia sudah kita jalin cinta, bila hati selalu berbeda. Sampai kapan lagi ku harus kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini.
Tiada lagi kata.
sampai kapan lagi ku harus menahan rasa kecewa di dalam dada. Seandainya kita masih bersatu, tak mungkin kan menyatu. Walau masih ada sisa cinta, biarkan saja berakhir sampai di sini.
Listener, the song entitled Tiada Lagi has successfully catapulted the popularity of Mayang Sari. This song was the second production of the first album produced around 90s. Since this second production, Mayang Sari's reputation began to be taken into account in the Indonesian music industry. The beautiful singer who was born in Purwokerto on August 23, 1974, in addition to singing, she is also good at sinden or Javanese rendition of the song. Her talent was obtained from her father, who works as a puppeteer, and mother as a famous sinden. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Selamat Malam Cinta by Mayang Sari. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Listener, after she got married, Mayang's activities in singing began to fade. The singer has busy to take care of her family business, while singing activities only carried out for some important and special events. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Harus Malam Ini and Rasa Cintaku by Mayang Sari. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
sendiri begitu cepat malam berlalu. Tak mungkin ku tahan lajunya jalan sang cinta di dalam hatimu.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Cintamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.